Our text today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. I'm reading from the old King James Version this morning. And this is the greatest story ever told. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by these shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. When I was a teenager growing up in Nashville, I took a job at age 14 as a paper boy. And for 4 years, it was my responsibility to deliver the news to 200 households in the Green Hills area. I estimated the other day that in those 4 years, I delivered no less than 240,000 newspapers. Makes me tired thinking about it. But when I remember those days, it occurs to me that most of the information that I distributed during my teenage years was bad news. In fact, I remember, you remember from the 70s, some of the headlines, Watergate, Nixon resigns, the king is dead, Elvis Presley at 42, the hostages in Tehran, the Jonestown massacre. Always bad news. To be honest with you, as a teenager, I never actually read it, I just delivered it. And I've known a few preachers like that in my time, but that's another sermon. Anyway, I discovered at an early age what you all already know. Bad news sells better than good news. I read a Pew Research category lately that said in our current media, bad news outweighs good news 17 to 1. In other words, for every good report you hear, there are 17 negative reports. And is it any wonder that we live more in fear than in faith? Psychologist John Gottman from the University of Washington thought about the personal ramifications of this imbalance, he said, and I quote, "In our homes and families, there is a thermostat that regulates the balance between positive and negative. Relationships," he says, "run into serious problems when the negative to positive ratio gets out of kilter." He says, listen, parents, that the magic ratio is 5 positive to every 1 negative. Now, it's been 40 years since I delivered those papers, but I can still remember the difficulty of trying to get all of that ink off of my hands. Every day for 4 years, just covered in bad news. Well, I'm still in the news business, but today, all I've got is good news. "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. This day in the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord." The word for good news is our word. It is the word gospel. In the Greek, euangelion, the root word is angel or messenger. The word gospel literally means good message. Now, it's fascinating to me that Dr. Luke, begins his story by placing this good message in its historical context. In fact, notice he mentions the new tax law. He mentions taxes 3 times. What a way to ruin a good story. Death and taxes, some things never change. He mentions the governor, and then he mentions the emperor, Caesar Augustus, whose real name was Gaius Octavius. He was the great nephew of Julius Caesar. Indeed, Julius Caesar's sister raised Octavius. He is said to be Rome's first and greatest emperor. Indeed, on the day of his inauguration, the Roman Senate changed his name from Octavius to Augustus. That name literally means revered one. It has religious overtones. Indeed, they believed him to be divine. Octavius came to Rome as a man, and they made him into a god. But Luke 2 tells of a god in Bethlehem who became a man. Now that's gospel. Dating the gospel in its historical context is a way of saying this ain't no fairy tale. This is not fiction. This is not a fable. It doesn't happen outside time, outside history. It happens in history, in our story. Indeed, if you read between the lines in Luke's gospel, you will discover a guiding hand, a providential purpose, why even Caesar's tax law serves to fulfill the prophecy that this child will be born in Bethlehem. This is good news, and today we're covered in it. This news, says Luke, is for all people, not some people, not church people, not good people, not Methodist people. It's for everybody. And yet, isn't it interesting? The first persons to hear it were shepherds, and that's a little surprising. They were lowly people. There was a time in ancient Israel that shepherding was considered a noble profession. In fact, King David, the greatest monarch of Israel, started out as a shepherd. But in the first century, shepherds were degenerates. They were reprobates. They were gypsies and vagrants. In fact, so low were shepherds in the pecking order of the day that their testimony would have been considered inadmissible in a court of law. And yet Luke says they got the news first. Now, is it just me, or is Luke telegraphing the gospel? What he's saying is the Son of David was not born with a silver spoon. He's not a blue blood. He doesn't come from or for the rich and famous. He comes from and for the poor and the nobodies. The child to be born will one day stand on a hillside and say, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We had a Christmas concert last Sunday night here. It was packed as it is this morning, and what a wonderful worship time it was. One of our women told me last week that she came in looking for a seat, and she saw a man by himself on the aisle. Are you saving this seat? She asked. I wish I was, he said. I'm by myself. He was all alone. He was a shepherd. He said he'd been living in a car in a Walmart parking lot, and he came in looking for warmth and hope. And he found it in her. She sat down beside him. They talked of life and its hardships. And then the music started. The sanctuary became for him a stable place, a place of good news in a bad news world. One of the most impressive things to me about Jesus is that he had friends in low places, shepherds. So the report of shepherds means that this news is for everybody. It's for all people. The gospel is utterly inclusive. There are no exclusions. I did a little last minute Christmas shopping on Thursday. Well, actually, I started on Thursday. I started like you a little earlier this year. In fact, I ran into some of you. I will not share your name. I went to the mall with the rest of Nashville. I had a coupon in my pocket. It was burning a hole in my pocket. It was 40% off. So I took my two or three things to the counter along with my blessed coupon. And she looked at my items and then at my coupon. And she said, sir, these items are not included on your coupon. I said, excuse me. She said it again. These things are not covered by your coupon. I said, yes, I know, but I have a coupon. And she said, you need to read the fine print. And I looked down at my wrinkled, pitiful voucher, at what I thought was an ink smudge, and I put on my glasses and I read the bad news. It says, limited exclusions. And then it follows. Excludes Adidas, Alegria, Allen Edmonds, Angelica, Antelope, Armani watches, baby gear, Birkenstock, Brighton, Casio, Coach, handbags, cosmetics, FAO Schwartz, fine jewelry, Fitbit, Fossil, and I'm just getting started. Excludes Johnston & Murphy, Michael Kors, Kate Spade, Kenneth Cole, Vera Bradley. And I looked at her and I said, limited exclusions? Don't you mean unlimited exclusions? And I looked at my poor things on the counter. Everything on the counter was unredeemable by my coupon. A journalist once asked Carl Sandburg, what is the ugliest word in the English language? And he thought for a moment, and then he said, exclusive. I've got good news this morning. It's all I've got. There's no fine print. There's no exemptions. There's no exclusions. The gospel is for all people, even shepherds and paper boys. There's one other thing. These lowly shepherds were not only the first to hear the news, they were the first to tell it. And don't you know, once they heard it and saw it for themselves, they couldn't keep it to themselves. They made known abroad. They told everybody what they had seen and heard. They couldn't help themselves, and neither can I. One last word. I went to see a friend the other day. He wanted to show me a gift that he had received. He said, it's an early Christmas gift. I said, would you mind if I shared it? He said, no, I wouldn't. And so he brought it to me. I don't know if you can see it well or not. It's a welcome mat. It was made by a group of women through Thistle Farms, which is a marvelous ministry in Nashville, started by Becca Stevens. The material, when you look at it, is odd. It's very interesting. It's very colorful, as you can see. It is actually made from life vests that were worn and left behind by Syrian refugees on the shores of Greece. Becca Stevens is partnering with a group of women in Ritsona, Greece. They are living in metal containers. They're weaving these mats out of fabric from the life jackets that they wore on a boat that delivered them to a new shore. The same material that symbolizes violence, war, and exile is being weaved to make a new life. And friends, that's the gospel. While little Caesars still roam the earth, seeking to become God, today in Bethlehem, the one true God, the Lord of hosts, takes off the majesty of his divinity and puts on flesh and clothes himself in fabric of brokenness and becomes one of us. That's why I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's our life jacket and it's our welcome mat, and it comes with no exclusions. Today in this stable, good news outweighs bad news 1,000,000 to 1. We're covered in gospel. And once you have heard it and seen it, there is no way you can keep it to yourself. The only way to keep it is to give it away. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.